What's the most effective thing any of us can do to fly more safely in 2011? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature in a brand new year. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot. We're here to talk a little bit about a New Year's resolution, but before we do, Bob, in the December issue of Over the Airwaves, had an article entitled Death by Decision, and I wanted to come back to something that kicked that article off. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Well, thanks, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
You start out this article by asking, here is a curious question. If you wanted to focus on just one training activity that had the greatest potential of preventing a future fatal accident, what would that activity be? Crosswind takeoffs, repeated instrument approaches, and actual IFR. And you say that if the accident data is to be believed, the training activity would be sitting in front of your computer. Now, I know you're not the biggest fan of simulators and some of the ways they're used. What are you talking about here? How can sitting in front of a computer make us safer than drilling instrument approaches?
Well, you know, aeronautical decision-making or bad aeronautical decision-making is really the number one cause of all fatal accidents. It's not a skill deficiency. It's not an inability to be able to fly the airplane. It's making a bad decision. And sometimes we need practice in making those decisions. And those are the kinds of things that do lend themselves pretty well to ground training. And if we can obtain the material, if we can get trainers to talk about this and to use these accidents, case studies, if you will. You know, Harvard University made the case study method of teaching popular probably 50 years ago or more, looking at actual business cases, why companies failed, why they succeeded, and doing a postmortem on that for illustrative purposes. And what I'm saying is we should be reading the NTSB accident reports. We should be reading, well, we should be reading Over the Airwaves, where we spend a good deal of time talking about these accidents and looking where the fatal flaw in the decision-making process was made, and then asking ourselves, could we conceivably make that same bad decision?
Well, I tried to do this for a different reason before I ever learned to fly, and I've said this a couple of times on these Aerocasts, and that is that I was disturbed. I didn't know what to tell my family, for one thing, about the safety of GA. I know that statistically, it's always been roughly 100 times more dangerous per flight hour than flying on an airliner. And that really bothered me because I couldn't see any reason why that should be. And so I spent a lot of time poring over accident reports to try to figure out, you know, understand it better, because I didn't even want to sign up and go to ground school if I couldn't, you know, resolve this to my own satisfaction. And I did learn a lot. I mean, I learned that a lot of times accidents are caused by things that sounded like either innocuous sounding decisions that became part of an accident chain, or things that seemed unrelated to the outcome until they were followed back through the forensic chain. So I guess, obviously, Over the Airwaves is free. You can find it over overtheairwaves.com. What's the best way to find NTSB reports, and how often should we read these things?
You can just Google now NTSB accident reports, and the site will come right up, and it's a nice searchable page, and you can use any number of parameters that you want. You can select by type of aircraft, type of report. It's a very, very easy thing to do. The NTSB also sends out a reporter-type document that you can subscribe to and read that. But you have to do it with the clinical sense about it. You can't look at it out of morbid curiosity. That will kind of turn you off in a hurry. You really have to dig into it and say, all right, could this event possibly have happened to me? Could I have been suckered in to the same scenario that cost this pilot his life? And man, you surely can if you do it that way. Of course, throw out the wacko ones. Throw out the ones that there was an obvious, blunder made on the part of the pilot. He was flying drunk. He was flying under the influences of drugs. He was stealing an airplane. He didn't have a license. You know, those things toss right out. But it's the other ones. You know, the guy that takes off at 7 o'clock in the morning on a business trip in his Bonanza, and he was at a New Year's Eve party the night before. You know, and so 8 hours may have barely passed between his last drink, but he still has a blood alcohol content that hasn't subsided that was going to get him into trouble. Could this have happened to us? You know, a night's sleep is not sufficient. Other things that we could have done, an individual who's taking over-the-counter drugs, you know, an antihistamine for a Kolb tablet or something like that, then suffers vertigo in the clouds. Is this something that we should be concerned about? Have we ever taken off with a Kolb pill, you know, taking a Kolb tablet before flying in IFR conditions? Surely we have. And I'll tell you what, I read every report that comes out for over the airwaves, and I guarantee that that's made a safer, far more cautious pilot, because I've seen instances where that could have very easily been me, and I could have very easily made that same decision. I'm lucky I learned about it on the ground before I left.
Well, you'll always find accidents, too, in which you can pick out three or four contributing factors that formed a chain. Almost always you'll find one or two that you've done in some form or that you could envision yourself doing if you got in a hurry or got complacent or just got, you know, too much time and grade to be taking the aircraft seriously anymore.
Well, you know, and speaking from personal experience, and I've always tried to be intellectually honest in my writings and in my speaking. You know, I have a Cessna 210, and the word is, if you can get it in the airplane, you can fly. And I've read enough reports about overweight disasters in single engine light general aviation aircraft that I don't do that anymore. If it's anywhere close to the limit of that airplane's weight and balance capacity, I don't go. I've become a much more cautious pilot when it comes to weather-related accidents, thunderstorm penetrations. You know, I have a storm scope and live radar, and I used to feel pretty bold about going into some summertime weather that today, after reading enough weather-related reports, I don't do it anymore. And I don't think it's because I'm getting older. It's just that I'm so much more aware of those who have died as a result from making those bad decisions. And if every one of us could become a student, learn, you know, every accident teaches us something. Every accident. We've had thousands of accidents since 1903 when the Wright brothers, you know, were at Kitty Hawk. And if we could have just somehow learned our lessons from those. The air safety report, the NOAA report, reminds us that we're still making the same dumb accidents year after year, over and over, the same scenarios. And that's because I believe people aren't simply not studying them to avoid them.
All right. Well, when we come back from the break, Bob, I want to talk about New Year's resolutions. Normally, we would talk about these in December, but we're early enough in January. I think there's still time to maybe pull one or two out. Bob Miller is my guest. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. Wanted to close out this first AeroCast with Bob of 2011 by talking about maybe things that we should look ahead over this year and say we can do better, not only from the standpoint of individuals personally, but general aviation as a whole. And we've probably obviously talked about a big one already, Bob, and maybe the first one we make is to take a look at those NTSB reports, look at enough of them that we start to get a sense of some of the things that could bite us personally, because I think if we're all honest and we look at them sitting alone at our computer, we can pick stuff out that, you know, we might not admit in a lively discussion in the pilot's lounge could affect us as well.
Yes, and what we have to come up with is a system, Paul. You know, I know it's going to sound like a very self-serving statement, but even if people did a very, very systematic reading of past issues of Over the Airwaves, in each issue we cover at least three really tragic events that cost lives in every issue and each issue upcoming. So if people would study just those three or four that we talk about each month, that would be a good systematic approach. Of course, getting into the NTSB reports and reading that. Unfortunately, We won't see a lot of this in our membership publications. Sure, there's usually some fairly sanitized accident reports that more often than not had happy outcomes. And, you know, I think there needs to be a certain amount of gravitas to the report in order to capture our attention. And that does border on the morbid. And but that's the only way we're going to learn. The second thing that I think I'm going to certainly do, and I do now as I get older perhaps, is to recognize that we are not invincible. You know, it doesn't take much in a moving vehicle that's up in the air to cause serious injury or worse. And, you know, we're all just a decision point away from having a bad outcome in an airplane. So keep that in mind. Every flight we take, we need to be sure we've dotted the I's, crossed the T's, and really assess the risks and examine the back doors. And if we're comfortable that we have those under control, then go ahead and make the flight. I'm not suggesting we all stop flying the minute, you know, the winds kick up a little bit or the ceilings drop down a little bit or it begins to snow. I'm not saying that. I'm suggesting, however, we spend a little bit more time considering the back doors and then, if necessary, getting the additional training that we need to handle the kind of missions that we're flying.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw in one of my own resolutions for 2011, and that is I'm going to try to fly more, and I'm going to try to add a rating this year that's at least as good as a flight review.
Paul, that one I would amen. Everybody should try to pick up a rating or an endorsement. It may be a tailwheel endorsement. It may be a high-performance endorsement. It may be an instrument rating, commercial certificate, but absolutely right. We should all have a method for improving our skills and building our capacity for safety.
Well, Bob, as always, we appreciate your insight and perspective. Look forward to another year full of these discussions on Mondays, and we'll catch you again next week.
Thanks, Paul. See you soon.
The January edition of Bob's newsletter was published yesterday. The December issue, which prompted today's discussion, all the other back issues, and a link to sign up for an email notice when the new ones come out, can all be found at www.overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.